Amen. 3 John, verse number 1, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words. Not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. Well, just 14 verses, but a lot of powerful truths in this little book of 3 John. Now, in these 14 verses, there are three men named. Of course, Gaius, and Diotrephes, and Demetrius. Now, Gaius, I'm sure, was a convert of John. And the reason I know that is because in verse 4, John said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And so is a convert of John. Now, he's probably the same man that was baptized by Paul. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that I baptized none of you save Stephanus and the household of Stephanus and Gaius. And so he baptized Gaius. And then when he wrote to the Romans from Corinth, he said in Romans chapter 16, verse 23, Gaius, mine host. And so that's probably the same Gaius. Now, John writes to Gaius. This book is addressed to him. And he writes to Gaius, and he compliments him. Now, the reason he compliments him is because of his hospitality toward the missionary or the evangelist or the preacher or the man of God. And so that is Gaius. Now, Diotrephes was a man in this church that had gained a controlling power. And John writes, and when he writes to Gaius, he condemns Diotrephes because he was a high-minded man toward himself and a haughty man toward servants. Now, I know that because of verse number 9. John said, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence. So that's his attitude toward himself. Now, it's haughty because in verse 11, his attitude toward others was, when John said to Gaius, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, and he that doeth evil hath not seen God. And he's talking about Diotrephes doing something, and what he did that was to other people. And so a haughty type person. Now, Demetrius, he's the third fellow that's named in the book. And Demetrius was one passing through Corinth, or he might have been the one that was carrying this letter. And John writes and commends Demetrius for his humility, and he was an honest man. I know that because in verse number 12, he said, Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself, and yea, we also bear record, and you know that our record is true. But I'm not going to deal with Demetrius. He's in the book. In fact, Lehman Strauss wrote a tremendous book on 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And Strauss said that Gaius is a practicing Christian. Well, that's what I want to be. He said Diotrephes was a proud Christian. Now, that makes a good outline, but I don't even classify as Diotrephes being a Christian. But he said Demetrius was a praiseworthy Christian. But since Demetrius is not a part of this church, I'm just going to leave him alone and talk about two of these men tonight. One of them is Diotrephes and the other is Gaius. And I'm going to call Diotrephes an egotist, and we're going to call Gaius the example. Amen. And so I want to line up with Gaius tonight and be somewhat of an example. But I don't want to be anything like this guy, Diotrephes, who was an egotist. You say, well, why would you call him an egotist? Well, he thinks he's number one on the list. I know that because at verse 9 again, look at it again, verse number 9. He said, I wrote unto the church about Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. And so he loved to have the preeminence. That's a good word, but it's only found three times in the Bible. It's found here where a man wants the preeminence. It's found in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18 where the Bible said that in all things he might have the preeminence. Then it's found in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 19 where it says, as a man and a beast die so that one has no preeminence over another. Amen. You know, as far as a man's flesh is concerned, when he dies, he ain't no better than a dead dog. Amen. And here's a man, ain't no better than a dead dog, want the position of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted the preeminence. He's number one, man. You know, somebody said one time that there's some people that they're so big-headed, you have to pin their ears back to get them in the mammoth cave, you know. Well, that's the way Diotrephes was. He's number one. If you didn't believe he was great, just ask him. But I want to tell you, there ain't nobody as great as they think they are. You know, we're writing all these books on self-esteem and how to bolster your self-esteem and folks that are suffering from a lack of self-esteem. I never met a person suffering from a lack of self-esteem. Amen. Now, I met a bunch of them suffering from an overdose of it. Amen. But I ain't never met nobody suffering from a lack of self-esteem. I met some that think you hadn't discovered them yet. Amen. But you know, you ain't what you think you are, and I ain't what I'd like to think that I am. Amen. You know, I come to church sometimes, some of these ladies walk by, and boy, it smells good. You say, what is that? Well, it's channel number 5, or as Billy Kelly would call it, all 9 on Alabama Street, or something like that, you know. But that ain't you that I smelled, amen. I mean, these men come in, got on the aftershave, you know. You just took a bath and put on some deodorant and that kind of thing. And there might be a pleasant aroma, but that ain't you, amen. That's a cover-up. That ain't you, amen. If you didn't leave every bit of that off, and don't take a bath for about 30 days, you'll smell the real you, amen. That's you, amen. Now, that's what you are, but you got it masked, isn't that right? Amen. And so, you know, ain't nobody as good as they think they are. And here's a guy that's an egotist, buddy. I mean, I am number one. I deserve royal treatment. I deserve to be heard. I deserve my opinion to be heard. Oh, no. And, you know, I tell you, one of the characteristics and an earmark of an egotist in a church is he always rebels against the man of God. Amen. Look at verse number 10. And in verse number 10, John said, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. You know what he did? He attacked the man of God. Amen. You ever read that story about how that shipwreck, they landed on the island of Melita over there in the book of Acts? And how when they landed on the island of Melita, and they got that fire going, and Paul reached over and put a bundle of sticks on the fire, and a venomous viper came out and latched on his hand. You know what that snake did? He attacked the man of God. You know which man of God he attacked? He attacked the one built fire. Amen. And there is a fire that'll stir a snake. Amen. I mean, in cold weather, a snake will go into hibernation and just lay there. But boy, when you put the fire on, amen, he'll come out. You know who he'll strike? He'll strike a man built the fire. Amen. You know a snake's stupid. He'll strike at anything. You know a snake will strike at a weed eater running wide open. Amen. He really will. I mean, they're dumber than a box of rocks. You know, people that rise up against the man of God, you showing your ignorance, amen. I don't believe I'd do that, amen. If I didn't like a preacher, I believe I'd just slip out and go somewhere and find somebody that I did like. But they rebel against the man of God, prating against us with malicious words. You know what that means? It means to utter nonsense. It means to talk idly, empty, foolish, false, you know. People come and say, preacher, I ain't getting fed. You know, I guess, well, who was it? Jack Wood said, well, I didn't come to feed you. I came to worm you. Amen. You ain't feeding physician yet. And said, you didn't give me nothing. And those preachers say, you didn't bring nothing to put it in. And, you know, all kind of stuff. And pretty rough on them characters. Amen. I kind of like that kind of stuff myself. Amen. But to rebel against the man of God. You know, I'm preaching a meeting, in fact, week after next. Next Sunday, I start a meeting in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania area, and I've been preaching that church for years and years and years. There's a lady in there, God, the woman now, and boy, I don't know, I ticked her off one year about something, buddy. She got mad, and she always sang specials with a group, and then when they'd be seated, I'd get up to preach to them, and she'd turn it off, amen. You can always tell them, you know, body language, we learn what to look for after a while, and they'll give you that turn-off attitude, you know, and look down and do their nails or something while you're preaching the Word of God, and you know, there's some of you. You might be like that. You know, you passing notes across to somebody else. You might be doing it tonight. You might be writing your tithe check. Well, if you're doing that, don't let me disturb you. Amen. But anyway, that woman, you know, she mad at a hornet. And so I just got up one night and I thought, I'm going to wake her up. Amen. And I said, you know, you can tell people don't like preaching. I said, when you get up to preach, they just unconsciously, you know, they tilt their head one way and their left eye slant like an oriental. I said, that's people's rejected the preaching of the Word of God. I can tell who you are. Amen. And so the next night, I was sitting on the platform waiting for the preacher to introduce me to preach. And he called that group up to sing. And when that woman walked up on the platform, she looked at me and tilted her head and pulled one eye down. Amen. You know that, man? I don't like you. I don't like to hear your preaching. I wish you wasn't here. Amen. Now, she got it right. Amen. But that's a rebel. That's an egotist. That's somebody that believes that she deserves better treatment than what the preacher gave her. Rebel against the man of God. I tell you something, they can't take preaching, they can't take it, but you know what? They need it, amen. In fact, look here in verse number 10. I like this. Paul said, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he does. You know what, or John, you know what John's saying? John is saying, you've got a snake in the grass. I know who he is. And if I do come over there, I'm going to have a word to say about it, amen. I kind of like that. Amen. I kind of like that. He just told him up front. He said, that's what it's going to be. You know, I was preaching a meeting out there in Texas one time, Temple, Texas, and that's one of the finest preachers that I know, and one of the sorriest churches that I've ever been in. But he's a good fellow himself, but he's too good, and just, you know, people take advantage of him. And him and his wife, they took that little church and pulled it out and made it go and did pretty good with it, but they didn't have nothing. And I preached one night on pastor-church relationship. Well, after service, men got together they decided to buy the church, pastor a car. I thought that was a good thing. And so he got a car for a week on trial. And there was a missionary in that church going to Papua New Guinea. That church supported him $500 a month. And he got the men together apart from the pastor and said he didn't have any peace about it. They ought not buy the car. And they reversed the decision. And the pastor had to take the car back. Now, that's a weakness on the pastor's part, I understand. But that don't justify the missionary doing it. Amen. Wasn't none of the missionary's business. Amen. And so anyway, the following spring, I was to be there in revival. And I told the pastor front up. I said, preacher, I'm not a good man to have. He said, I want you to preach revival for me. I said, look, that church acted on my preaching. I am involved. That church decided to buy you a car. That missionary stuck his nose in. He had no business. He has rebelled against what I said. And I'll have something to say about it. He said, I want you there. I said, all right, you know up front, amen. So I just laid into it about the third night in the meeting, and I told him I wouldn't give him a dime. I'd drop him on the field, let him swim home, amen. And I just told him, I said, hey, a character that would do something like that is so little, if he crawled under the carpet, he wouldn't make a wrinkle, amen. I wouldn't give him a dime. I wouldn't give him a penny. I wouldn't support that dude. I wouldn't support him. No, sir. By the way, he went to New Guinea, stayed a while, came back, didn't even attend that church and sent him $500, went off to Kentucky somewhere, went somewhere else, and I understand he's out of the ministry now. The only thing I regret is all that money them churches gave that deadbeat all the time they was supporting. Amen. I support no missionary that don't love his pastor. Amen. But here you got this egotist, you know, that he rebels against the man of God. Not only does he do that, but he thinks he's the one supposed to regulate the church. Look at it in verse 10 again. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prated against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. You know what he did? He got in a position of control and removed any threat that would take his power away. Hey, that guy wasn't concerned about the loyalty to the pastor and the church going forward and reaching the world with the gospel. He's interested in one thing, and that is, look at me. I'm in power. I'm in authority. Amen. Most of the times you hear preachers being run off, it's power struggles. Preachers would call me, Brother Charlie, and they're talking about they got a bad deal in the church. It looks like the church is going to vote them out. I said, hey, preacher, before you tell me, I can tell you what the problem is. What is it? I said, it's a power struggle. It's lack of submission to authority. By the way, did you know the biggest problem we face in America? It is lack of submission to authority, respect and submission to authority. Amen. And so they try to regulate the church, remove any threat to self-power. I'll tell you something else about them. Look at verse number 1. In verse number 1, John said, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius. You know what he called him? He called him well-beloved. Look at verse number 2, beloved, talking to Gaius. Look at verse number 5, beloved, talking to Gaius. Verse number 11, in verse number 11, beloved, talking to Gaius. You know what he called Gaius? The well-beloved, the beloved. But when he talked about God, he never said one good word about him. He was repulsive to the spiritual mind. Amen. He's a snake in the grass. He's a wolf in sheep's clothing. He's a religious crook. He's a devil in disguise. And the only reason I want to be around some folks is so I can preach at them. Amen. I tell you something else they do. Look at verse number 11. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. You know what he said in that verse? He said, Gaius is saved, but Diotrephes is lost. Gaius is good, but Diotrephes is evil. He said, that man's doing goods of God, but that man's doing evil. He don't know God. He's lost. Isn't it strange how we in fundamental Baptist churches preach to people and say, if you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He'll change your life. And they come down the aisle, we pray with them, and they say they got saved and live like the devil. And we say, well, they saved, they just carnal Christians. They just never grew in the Lord. We got Baptist churches full of lost folks. Amen. You know, there's one little doctrine. We quit preaching about 25 years ago. This just a little word of repent. Jesus said, except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. And if you don't run out of your sins, this is not for you. Amen. You know what this guy was? This guy was a lost man that was in the church giving trouble. Amen. And you know where a lot of the problem was? I'll tell you where it was. It was a rebuke to him to see what Gaius was doing, and he wasn't about to do it. You know why? It would cost him some money to do what Gaius was doing, and he ain't going to turn loose that money. Remember that tithe deal? We had a field rep one time, and we found out that he wasn't tithing. He said, what'd you do? Let him go. I'm not going to have a man walking around the country in churches, going to churches, telling them enough to give beyond their tithe to missions so we can print them Bibles, and he don't even tithe himself. So we let him go. But before I found out that he didn't tithe, there was another deal, little deal, that I had to talk with him about, and I drove 500 miles with the understanding we were going to meet and have lunch together and talk about this situation. And I called him about noon on one particular day, and he said, well, the weather's bad, the snow, and he'd had some illness and so on, and he couldn't get out. What he didn't know was that I was calling him on a cell phone in the parking lot of the city that he lived in, and it was 40-some degree, the sun's shining, there wasn't a drop of snow anywhere. You know what the Word of God said? All liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. That's in the Bible. Amen. You know what? So you got a thief and you got a liar. You know what you got? You got an unsaved man. But I tell you what, he'd give illustrations, cry and weep, raise more money than all of us put together. You know what he did? He played on people's emotions. Played on their emotions, and he got their money. And isn't it sad that a guy like that had to die and go to hell someday? Amen. Amen. So what happened to him? Another ministry took him as a field rep. You know, he'd go around in liberal Southern Baptist churches and Free Will Baptist churches and talk people out of their money. You got that going on in this country in Baptist churches. Amen. Amen. You know what? You know what? You sit here today, you say, well, I don't believe tithing's for the New Testament. Well, you can learn better and change your mind tonight. You know, it is the New Testament. And you're stealing God's money, you probably ought to come down here and trust Christ and get born again and start tithing. Amen. Amen. Yeah. You see, he that's of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not because you're not of God. Amen. See. You know what? If a man doesn't tithe, you know what? If you're sitting here and you don't tithe your income, if you're saved, you're under conviction so bad right now, you cut it with a knife. You say, why? He that's of God heareth God's words. And a man that's saved and hears the word of God, it convicts him when he don't do right. You've heard Brother Don Green tell that story before about the church years ago voting to buy him a car. And two men stood up and opposed. And after the service, Brother Green, the foyer, in his language, he told them where the cow ate the cabbage. And the men left the church. And 2 years later, they were having revival services, and one of the men came back to the church in a revival meeting and got an opportunity to stand up, and he did. They recognized him, and he said, 2 years ago, when the church voted to buy the preacher a new car, I opposed it. But he said, I want to say tonight that I was wrong and the church was right. And I want to say the preacher was right and I was wrong. And I want to say the Bible was right and I was wrong. And I want to say God's right and I was wrong. And I've stolen $6,000 of tithe money from God. He said, it'll take me a while, but I'll get her back in. Amen. That was Lanny Hasbrook. He went over to Ypsilanti and pastored that Baptist church all them years. And then went out in evangelism, preached the word of God. Then he went home with a heart attack, I believe. Amen. Amen. And I'll tell you something else. This off and on, off and on, off and on. In that Old Testament, they added 20% to it when they, you know, slack. You know, what do you think would happen if you went down to Sears Roebuck or General Motors or wherever, you buy something and you put it on credit, all right? And you're going to make a $100 a month payment for the next 10 years or whatever. And for about 6 months, you make that payment on time and then you skip three. And they send you some late notices, and you go down to the finance office and tell them, say, well, I'll skip three, but I'm going to pick up now and take off right here. No, you're going to pick up them back payments too. Amen. Amen. And God required probably a bunch of you owe God some money. Amen. Brother Charlie, I just got a feeling they just plenty of money in these churches to do everything we ought to do if we just do right. Amen. I mean, just take that 10% right off the top and put it in that place. You say, what's that do? That gets you up to the level to where you can start participating in faith promise. Amen. You say, well, a lot of people backslid. No, a lot of people ain't backslid. They ain't had nothing to backslide from. Amen. Up there to start with. Amen. Amen. There's a lost man. And you know what? I'll tell you what he didn't like. He didn't like the rebuke that it brought seeing what Gaius was doing. Amen. It wouldn't be so bad on some folks if you didn't have a guy in the next pew that's tithing and giving to missions. Amen. You make more money than he does, and yet he gives more money than you do. You'd assume he wouldn't be here. It's a rebuke. Amen. They reveal their true condition. What is they're lost without God. That's the egotist, amen. I mean, if you are sitting in this church tonight, Gloryland Baptist Church, breathing air, living in America, I mean, you carry the King James Bible, you got a man of God that loves you, and you're sitting here, and you won't even tithe your income. You know what your problem is? You think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Amen. Amen. That's an egotist. Well, we got another guy here that I like, amen. And look at verse number 4. Gaius, the example. Man, this is it. And in verse number 4, John said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Already said it, but he was converted under John's ministry. That's a little bit of his background. not only converted under John's ministry, but baptized by Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 14. And for somebody to be a convert in the Apostle John and baptized by Paul, I believe is a real saved individual. Amen. But not only did he have a good background, but he had a good belief. Verse number 3. John said, "For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee." You know what that is? That's what he believed. Amen. But not only did he have a good belief, but he was a very benevolent kind of fellow. You say, how do you know? Because it said, even as he walketh in truth. Not only did he believe the truth, but he behaved the truth. He did what the Bible said he ought to do. Wasn't just a hearer of the word, but he was a doer of the word. Now, look at his benevolence. Look at verse number 5. And it said, verse number 5, "Beloved," talking to Gaius, "what thou doest faithfully." Thou doest faithfully. Thou doest faithfully. Whatever he did it on a regular basis. Whatever he did it faithfully. I mean, you can't do anything one time and say you did it faithfully. But whatever he did it faithfully. Amen. I know people get involved in faith promises up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down like a yo-yo. There ain't no excuse for that. Hey, but you know what you ought to do? 52 weeks a year, if you do it on a monthly basis, 12 months or 52 weeks out of the year, 12 months out of the year, but it ought to be a faithful thing. Amen. And whatsoever thou doest faithfully. Man, I like them words. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest. Who did he do it to? He did it to the brethren. Amen. Somebody said that Gaius was a wealthy man of the church and gave a lot of money. It's not so. Gaius was a poor man with failing health that gave out of his deep poverty. Help those men of God. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. He did something to people he didn't even know. Amen. I don't know anybody in the Congo. I don't know anybody in Uganda. There's a lot of people I don't know. Amen. But unless I am like Gaius and I give to the brethren that I do know, and by that I'm giving to somebody that I don't know. Amen. And it's a faithful thing. Amen. I don't know many people in Mexico. Man, I know them Gomez boys. I know Sonny Fritz and them guys and all them boys around Monterey. I know Adam Thompson down there. But I guess our church probably puts $1,000, $1,200 a month something down in Mexico. There's a lot of people we don't know that's getting some help. Amen. You know what? Here's a guy that is the example. You know what you're to do? You're supposed to give to the brethren that you do know, that the brethren can give to the folks that you don't know. That's missions. See? Now look at what he says. Look at what he says. His benevolence. I mean, that's real clear. And it says in verse 5 again. Let me read that again. It said, "Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers." Verse 6. "Which have borne witness of thy charity before the church." Amen. You know what happened? Look at the rest of it. Look at the rest of that verse 6. "Whom, if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well." You know what John said? He says, a preacher come through town, and they passed a plate to help him get a tank full of fuel. You put money to the plate. You help bring him on his way. See? You forward him on his journey. John said, that's a good thing. You say, good? Got his name in the Bible? I can't get mine in the Pensacola News Journal. I guess when I die, they'll get me in there. Amen. You know what that is? Here's a missionary come through and the tire's off on his car. And you're the man that contributed enough to buy a car. You brought him on his way. Amen. Amen. And he said, thy charity has been given, but thy testimony is given by the brethren that came through before the church. There are churches I've never been in. You was talking about Brother Camilleri. I've never been there. Boy, I hear good reports coming out of there. Amen. You know, that's a given church, I understand. Amen. I hear a lot of good things said about that church. Amen. You know why? People come through and give good testimony. Hey, that's the way Gaius was. You know, he got involved in somebody else's life. You know what he did? I'll tell you what he did. He looked at it as being a part of the Lord's work. Look at verse number 7. In verse number 7, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. They, whoever that is, came through, and Gaius said, that's a man of God. I'm not necessarily interested in setting up a soup kitchen and feeding everybody that's hungry, but here is a man of God. That's the Lord's work. I want in on it. He says, Lord's work. It's not Frank Wells' work. It's Lord's work. It's not Charlie Andrews' work. This is the Lord's work. Victor Baptist Press is not mine. That's the Lord's work. These missionaries out in all the mission fields out there, it's the Lord's work. Amen. Gaius had a part in the Lord's work. But not only is it the Lord's work, but I'll give you a little outline tonight. It's their livelihood. Look at verse 7 again. Because that for his name's sake, they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. They're not making a living in the business world. They're not getting fed by that world out there. You know what those missionaries are living on? I tell you what those missionaries are living on. They're living on what you gave them. I mean, when you go in and set a thermostat, amen, that's real good. Isn't that a blessing? And I mean, you go in, man, I got one of the most comfortable beds in the world. That big old bed, and I built that big old bedroom back there. I mean, that's wonderful, man. That's just great. But I've been to some places, buddy, where there's missionaries that, I mean, toughen it and roughen it. And if you hear about them living a comfortable lifestyle and having a decent automobile to drive, well, I don't think missionaries ought to live like that. They ought to live as good as you do. Amen. 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 I mean, you know, in fact, the church, even itself. Man, I was pastored. I come downstairs one day in there in the furnace room. I saw a vacuum cleaner with a wheel broke off of it. And they had a baby bed nursery, the slats kicked out of it. And I just got to pull a bit and I said, this is a Baptist church. You're looking for the city dump. Amen. Why don't you put your trash in the dump, buy the church a new baby bed? Why don't you put your junk in the dump and buy a new vacuum cleaner for the church? Amen. I mean, we got people setting these churches making $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 a year or whatever, and I'm glad for you. And you drive luxury cars, and I'm glad for you. And you drive, you wear good clothes, and I'm glad for you. But I'm telling you what, if you find out that a missionary made enough money to live on a foreign field and even have a little health insurance or take care of his kids, hey, every time a letter comes through, it's usually trying to get some braces for his kids' teeth. Or you know, there's always a need they got to present. They say, why? Because you've got a bunch of tightwads sitting in these churches that believe that missionary ought to live on nothing. Amen. Amen. You know, last year I preached that thing about as a king giveth unto a king. Adam Thompson preached that. As a king giveth unto a king. I'll buy your lunch. I ain't going to send you to McDonald's unless you want to go to McDonald's. Amen. Hey, I'll give you $5. You take your wife and three kids out. Amen. Amen. I mean, press $100 bill on the guy's hand. Let him take his wife out to eat to this decent restaurant. Amen. You listening to me? That missionary's not some cheap flunky, you know, that couldn't make it in a Baptist church in America, and we shipped him to a mission field. He's a man with the call of God on his life. He's got needs just like you do. He's got ministry to do. It's his livelihood. What you give him is the only thing he's going to have to live on. Amen. I tell you something else. Not only is it the Lord's work and it's their livelihood, but thank God you have a part in the work. Amen. Verse number 8. He said, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Amen. You know what I'm doing tonight? I'm helping Brent Logan build churches in Romania. I'm helping him, amen. I'm helping Brother Brent. I'm helping Humberto do a Spanish Bible, amen. I'm helping Brother Sonny Fritz and them guys build them churches down there in Mexico. I'm helping Adam down there in Pachuca, amen. Fellow helpers to the truth. I'm helping Keith Stenses win Uganda to Jesus Christ. How'd that make you feel? Amen. I'm a fellow helper to the truth tonight. Amen. You say how? Just put my money in the plate. Just put my money in the plate. Just put my money in the plate. Amen. By the way, I feel like giving a little word of testimony right here. It'd be all right, wouldn't it? Amen. You know what? You have a part in their work. But not only do you have a part in the work, but you know, I believe in the example of Gaius. You know what you do? You encourage others get involved. That's where the rebuke came. You can't sit idly by on the same pew with a guy that's got a generous heart and not be like him and stay happy. Amen. It's contagious. Amen. You know what really got me started in missions? Hanging around Jack Wood. Every time he said something, he's talking about giving something away. Amen. Now, if you want to shout and have a camp meeting, go to North Carolina. But if you want somebody to talk about missions and giving money, get somebody out of Texas. Amen. That just seemed, I don't know why that worked like that, but it did. And I'll tell you the truth, I'd rather see you put that money in the plate and hear you shout. And I like the shout. Amen. I don't see why we can't do both. Amen. But you just hang around people that's doing it. You get to be friends with people that are doing it. You go to churches that are doing it. You know what? First thing you know, you'll be doing it. Gaius was an example to somebody else. Amen. No, Brother Jack Wood started coming in Victory. You know what? Victory Baptist Church, Milton, Florida, 1991, my son took that church. Tom Woodward had laid a groundwork. He'd done the foundation. That church committed, Brother Homer Smith preached mission conference every year, and they committed the same amount every year, $9,000. Now, Brother Tom Woodward wasn't a great people person, a godly man, a good man, but he never did come in. They didn't push it and keep it out there. Didn't come in. $9,000 every year, but it didn't come in. Didn't come in. And anyway, when Brother Woodward passed away, he'd ask my son if he'd take a church. And he said he'd take it. So he took it. Did he pray about it? No. His pastor told him to do it, so he just put it on him, you know. Amen. Well, that's the way it worked. Amen. Pastor called him back early on his deathbed, and he wanted somebody, you know, he wanted Tim, wanted to know if he'd come off the road. He's traveling like me and take a church. And he said, well, you're the pastor. And so the pastor told him to do it. He obeyed the man of God. And he took a church. And that year, in September, the faith promise went up 13,000, but they gave it. Following year, it went to 18,000, they gave it. Following year, it went 28,000, they gave it. Then 40,000, right on up. Last year, they gave 283,000. That's pretty good, wasn't it? Amen. That's pretty good. And then that printing ministry they was doing, they had done 40,000 John and Romans in 6-7 years. They do 7,000 a year. About 7,000 little John and Roman little sheet fed press. And I come in there in 91. It ain't me, man. I'm just, God let me get in the line. But anyway, some money started showing up. We started raising a little money. They never had field reps before. And we've gone to 7,000 a year. Some years we'll do a million now. Amen. Didn't have any support at all. We got about $200,000 now. Amen. That's real good, ain't it? You know what? But old Billy Allen had come in there. Brother Billy would preach. Brother Charlie, he said the same thing to me he did to you. And all how much he wanted it. And I heard Brother Allen say, he said, well, my faith promise to be the biggest item on my budget. He wanted to be more his house note. Isn't that something? And I thought, oh, Lord, I don't know. But here about 2 years ago, we got ours up there. I think that year we gave more than our house note was. Isn't that something? You say, you'll starve to death. I didn't know they was going to do it. But that year, they had a little celebration down at the church, and I celebrated 40 years in the ministry. And that's appreciation of me being in the ministry 40 years. Church picked up my house note. Isn't that something? Amen. Man, I'm glad I listened, Brother Billy. I'd rather be putting that money in missions than putting it in a house note. Isn't that something? Picked up my house note. I don't even have a house payment. See, I don't need a thing. I'm glad I got around Brother Jack. Brother Jack talked about living by faith. He said, ain't for you. You ain't got no faith. And I started getting around that crowd. He said, what do you need tonight? Nothing. Nothing. My mother-in-law came to live with us. She said, that's terrible. It ain't terrible for me. Her Social Security pays for the groceries. Amen. So I don't have a grocery bill. Then back in 1970, I got spiritual. I thought the Lord's coming back that week, and I hope He does this year. But I opted out of Social Security, you know. Now, I thought that once you opt out, you'd never get back in, but I found out different. Here a few years ago, Beth Pearson was secretary of church, and I'd get some support through there, and she started paying Social Security on me, and I didn't know it. Now, if I'd have known it, I'd said, no, I ain't giving the government no money. I've opted out, you know, and I can't ever get back in. But I found out that you don't draw Social Security on how much you paid in. You draw Social Security on how many years you paid in. Now, the amount you draw will have something to do with how much you paid in. But I found out that the time that Beth Pearson paid Social Security on me, qualified me to get back in the system. I start drawing several hundred dollars this month to get my first check. Hey, not only that, got all that good insurance, you know, that Humana Gold stuff. I went to the doctor the other day, got a prescription filled, and it just 30-day supply, 30 little old capsules about that big, $700. Here's my card. Amen. I'm glad I listened, Brother Billy. I'm glad I listened, Brother Jack. You say, you don't need nothing? I don't need a thing. I don't need a thing. All the bills are paid. I don't have a house payment. I don't have to buy groceries. I got good insurance, and I didn't pay Social Security all them years like some of you guys are. You say, what'd you do? I just tithed, started giving to missions. Amen. Just giving it, giving it, giving it, giving it. And I'm going to have to up it some more because I got that several hundred dollar Social Security check coming. And what am I going to do with that? Amen. Amen. There's some of you cutting your nose off to spite your face. Amen. Amen. You know what y'all do? Y'all run down here tonight and say, oh, God, I want to be like Gaius. Y'all say, now, over yonder's brother, he's been given so much missions, and I ain't been given half that. I want to be like him. Amen. Get you a good example. You say, is that in the Bible? I'm going to look at it again. You look right here at 3 John, and look at verse number 11. Beloved, follow not that which is evil. You know who that is? That's Diotrephes. Amen. But that which is good. You know who that is? That's Gaius. You know who that is? That which is good. You know who that is? That's Charlie Andrews. You know who that is? That's Jack Wood. You know who that is? That's Billy Allen. Who follow them deadbeats that fight in their pasture and won't tithe and won't give faith promise missions? Don't fellowship with that crowd. You know what? You'll get like them. Larry Brown preached that message on you, but he had a friend, and he keeps saying, you are right now, or you soon will be what your friends are. You will. Amen. And so you follow the example. Amen. Amen. In fact, when he said, follow that which is evil, that's Diotrephes, but that which is good, that's Gaius. Now, somebody's going to look to me as an example. Okay? Now, Paul said this in Romans chapter 11, verse 13, for I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. You know what he said? He said, I magnify it. Now, the reason I magnify it is that I might provoke to emulation. Now, magnify means to praise, to extol, to honor, to make glorious, to adorn with luster, to clothe with splendor, to render it excellent, to make it renowned, to render it illustrious. It means to cause the dignity and the worth of a person or thing to become manifest or acknowledged. You know what I want to do tonight? This matter of being a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This matter of being involved in worldwide evangelism. This matter of giving to faith promise mission. I want to praise and extol and honor and make it glorious and adorn it with luster and clothe it with splendor and render it excellent and make it renowned and render it illustrious. You know, say, why? So I can provoke to emulation some of you. But Charlie Andrews up in that faith promise, 15%. That's probably some of you said, boy, I'd like to be like that. I'd like to be like that. I'd like to be like that. And then he said, to emulate them which are my flesh. May provoke to emulation. You know what that means? It means to rival with some degree of success. Now, an imitation is a counterfeit. Imitation is false and phony. But to emulate is to take the example of another and try to match it. Boy, wouldn't it be something if you just pick out the most spiritual Christian you know? Say, that's the one I want to be like. That's exactly what he did in 3 John. He said, you need to forget about that Diotrephes. And you need to look at Gaius. Every time somebody comes through, he's putting money in their hand. He's helping them get to the mission field. He's paying for some Bibles. He's filling their tank up. He's putting money in the plate. That's the man that you need to emulate. Amen. And so I pick out a Jack Wood. Well, I'd like to be like that. I pick out a Billy Allen. I I'd like to be like that. I'd pick out a Charlie Andrews. I'd like to be like that. But I can pick out a missionary that's mad at his pastor, don't want him to have a good automobile, rebel toward the decision of a church. I don't even want to be around him. I want nothing to do with him. Amen. So emulate Gaius and not Diotrephes. Let's pray. Our Father, I appreciate the good Word of God. Lord, what a great book. Lord, I pray tonight that You'll speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray somebody come down here tonight and get right with You about this matter of tithing, this matter of giving the faith promise, being generous, not trying to make $1 million in this world for their own benefit, but for the glory of God. Lord, I don't need anything tonight. I don't need any money. Lord, my bills are paid. I got money in my pocket. And I'm amazed, Lord. It's not because I make a lot, but because You just fixed it so I don't need a lot. Isn't that wonderful? And it doesn't matter how You do it, Lord. It'll make a difference to me how You do it or what You do. I just want to be in on it. I want to be a part of it. Lord, I want to bring these men forward on their journey after a godly sort. And I want to do whatever I do faithfully to the brethren and to strangers. Lord, in my mind's eye tonight, I can see somebody down there in Uganda getting just a little paperback edition of the Gospel of John, reading the Scriptures for the first time in their life, and to think that You let me be in on that. I think about those buildings down there in Mexico and Brother Jose, and think about this Bible with Brother Humberto, and that house for Brother Antonio, and Lord, those buildings over there for Brother Reuben, that Bible college, and on and on and on, that You allowed me to just get in there and be a little part of. Times I've committed myself, I don't know where the money's coming from. But Lord, I can honestly say tonight, the faith promise is up. You've met the need, and I appreciate it. Lord, these people ought to take it serious this week. What are we going to do for God? What do You want me to do? And commit themselves to do it, and to do it faithfully.